Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on August 23rd. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Medway councillor 6 months after the rollout of the controversial school street scheme, and from Canterbury residents who say social media influencers are causing damage to flower beds just to get the perfect picture. But first, starting with Kent's crime news today, a man accused of stabbing a uniformed army officer in Gillingham is due to go on trial next January. Lieutenant Colonel Mark Teaton was left with serious injuries after being attacked near Brompton Barracks last month. He's now been discharged from hospital. 24-year-old Anthony Eason from Mooring Road in Rochester has been charged with attempted murder. A Maidstone sex offender has been sent back to prison after breaching a court order. Russell Hogg was jailed for having indecent images in 2018 and is banned from approaching children. He was caught speaking to groups of youngsters in school uniform at Maidstone Library. The 64-year-old from Middle Row has been locked up for nearly 3 years. A thief who stole an iPhone from the hand of a man who was asleep in the waiting area of Medway Maritime Hospital has been sentenced. Nathan Palmer is also accused of failing to show up to court to face the charges. He's also previously been sentenced to prison for burgling his old school and theft offences. The 28-year-old, who has no fixed address, has been ordered to pay compensation. A Canterbury man who grabbed and kissed a 13-year-old child has avoided being sent to prison. Stephen Critcher was dancing at the Pride Festival in Danejohn Gardens in June when he forced himself on the victim without knowing her age. The 39-year-old, who lives in North Holmes Road, was given a suspended sentence. He must do 150 hours of unpaid work and attend treatment programs. A drug dealer's been jailed after he used the phone he sold cocaine on to book a meal at a steakhouse in Sevenoaks. Simon Thorpe was arrested after police analysed the phone, traced it to the meal and spotted him on CCTV. The 34-year-old from Eccles Close in Aylesford has been locked up for more than 3 years.
Kent Online News.
A train has crashed into a fallen tree near Sittingbourne as strong winds from Storm Lillian batter Kent. South Eastern say the collision at Newington has caused significant damage and is blocking the railway line. There are also delays on the ferries at Dover while a lorry's overturned on the A249. It comes as travel experts have issued a warning that tomorrow is likely to be one of the busiest days on Kent's roads, railways and ports. Tony Rich is from the AA.
This bank holiday weekend, yeah, we can expect traffic to be increased in numbers. A recent survey that the AA carried out showing that around about 14 million people are going to be on the roads this weekend. Lots of the journeys that they're going to be making probably going to be less than 50 miles, so staying fairly local due to the weather. Friday is going to be the busiest day, according to our survey. So if people are thinking of heading off at sort of tea time on Friday, I would give that a look at and sort of head off later or earliest. If you can finish work earlier or if you're off work that day, I would tend to go sort of just after lunch or early in the morning. We always advise people, if they can, to travel as early in the morning as possible. But with people finishing work, that might not be possible. So what I would do is leave it until after the tea time rush and then head off then, because as I say, our survey, it does suggest that people are just going to be finishing work and heading straight off. So yeah, if you do that, then you're likely to get caught up in the backlog of traffic.
Meanwhile, a yellow weather warning has now been issued for all of the county for tomorrow. The Met Office says we're likely to see heavy rain from 6 a.m. until 1 p.m. They're advising there could be disruption to travel. A mural showing a pile of life jackets has been painted on the seawall at Ramsgate to raise awareness of lives lost in the channel. A local street artist created the image, which is revealed with the changing tide. It's part of a national campaign by Refugees, a charity that supports asylum seekers. Firefighters have been called to Hawkhurst after a tractor caught alight. The blaze broke out on Slip Mill Lane yesterday evening. No one was hurt and it's unclear how it started. Staying in Hawkhurst, and a woman has been cleared of dangerous dog charges after another woman was attacked at a farm in Sevenoaks. Jane Brown suffered a torn cheek and was left needing more than 100 stitches after being bitten by the German Shepherd Husky crossbreed in 2021. 35-year-old Charlotte G from Horns Road had left the dog in the care of someone else and was not there when the attack happened. She had the dog euthanised before he could be seized. A jury found her not guilty of being the owner of a dog which caused injury when dangerously out of control.
Kent Online News.
There are concerns drivers are ignoring new road rules set up around schools in Medway. The School Streets program was launched at 7 sites in March. It means cars are banned from some roads during key times. But in June alone, more than 2,000 motorists have been caught doing the wrong thing and received a warning. Alex Patterson is from Medway Council.
I'm really pleased with the results so far. It's something which has delivered safer outcomes for children and parents walking to school. And I think that as a motorist, but also as a dad, I'm really happy and make no apology for making those journeys to school safer.
Is the 6 month, we're in a trial period at the moment, warning period at the moment, where if you do go down a school street in the hours, you'll be issued a warning in the first instant. Is that going to change from, I think it's September the 11th, from September the 11th, is that going to then mean you will be issued with a fine straight away?
Well, what you can see behind me is very clear signage which tells people when they can and can't enter a school street. What we've done in the first 6 months of this project is to offer a grace period where, for a first offence, people will receive a warning letter if they've inadvertently driven up a street that they previously thought they could drive on freely. That should be enough. And the second time that that car is found to have contravened these regulations, then they will receive a fine. After that 6 month period, it goes straight to a fine. I think people are comfortable with the new regulations. I think they're used to it. And certainly here at St Peter's Infants in Rochester, it's been a fantastic success.
We've seen data through a Freedom of Information request which suggests that some motorists are starting to flout the rules. We see more and more cars being issued with warnings or a fine for going down the streets, particularly in the month of June compared to April and May. Why do you think that is? Do you think that is because we're in that warning period at the moment?
I think that in any new scheme there is always a period of learning, and there's always a period for residents and motorists to come to terms with the new rules. But I'm confident that there is a downward trajectory on that, and that actually the message is getting through.
Richmond Road has the highest number of cars flouting it. I mean, there was nearly 1,500 in June alone. But why do you think Richmond Road in particular, why do you think there are so many cars just ignoring the restrictions?
Well, obviously, as I say, we will continually monitor the results of the scheme as we bring it in. And if there are issues in particular areas, then I'm absolutely keen that we should address them. What I don't think any driver can suggest is that signage behind me is anything other than crystal clear. It's a school street. It's a pedestrian and cycle zone between the hours notified during term time. That's what's keeping journeys to and from school safer for Medway's young people. And I'm keen to see this scheme roll out across Medway into other areas which will benefit.
We have spoke to a couple of people who live on school streets across Medway. Most people do support it, but there are a couple of people, particularly those with a disability, who do have concerns. They're saying that taxis won't pick them up during the hours, and that means they're missing appointments, particularly people who have children with special educational needs who need to get home to school transport. Taxis, carers, supporters just can't get down their roads. Is there something that the council could look at to change this, to actually allow supporters and carers to get down school streets during enforcement hours?
So we have a wide range of exemptions which people can be eligible for because they're a resident, because they might be dropping a child off with a disability, or indeed if they are a blue badge holder themselves. But we are not robots at Medway Council. Although this is being enforced by ANPR cameras, those tickets will be assessed by a human being, and if there are extenuating circumstances, then I would encourage people to get in touch and report that to the council, and everything will be treated on a case-by-case basis.
A Medway man says he's been left with a rare skin reaction after using a steroid cream to treat his eczema. Sam Beale from Cliff got it on prescription, but his skin started flaking, itching and oozing when he stopped using it. It's a condition called topical steroid withdrawal and is usually caused when creams are used for longer than recommended. There could be a referendum on plans for new developments in part of Medway. Council bosses have set out details of rules builders would have to stick to in Hoos and Werber and Chatterton. A decision will be made next week on whether the neighbourhood plan should be voted on by residents. Plans to fine people for swearing in the streets in Thanet have been scrapped. Council bosses wanted to bring in new rules in so-called hot spots, including Margate, Ramsgate and Broadstairs. They've ditched the idea after the Free Speech Union threatened legal action.
Kent Online News.
Now, residents residents in Canterbury have slammed disrespectful tourists for trashing flower beds for the perfect Instagram pic. Green Flag award-winning Westgate Gardens, which runs along the River Stour, is a hot spot for influencers, but locals say it's taken a heavy toll on the grounds. Terry Westgate is a Canterbury resident and former city councillor.
The area, the other side, these flower borders here, there's a grass area, and they've been continually walking on that area, which worn the grass all the way, and it's destroying the beauty of the area. They've now started standing in amongst the flower beds, trampling the flowers, and it's so disrespectful. I feel quite sad that the gardens are being ruined. It's mainly the tourists. It's not local vandalism. The tourists seem to think they can get these fantastic photographs of the flower beds, but in doing so, they're not respecting the flower beds, and they're standing on in amongst them now, which is actually causing a real problem. I think we need better signage. There's hardly any signs saying keep off the flowers and keep off the grass. So some better signage all along this railings would be good.
Chris Henry runs punting tours of the River Stour next to Westgate Gardens. He's been chatting to our reporter, James Pallant.
Understandably, having photos in the foreground and background of the photo looks quite nice, but as a result, they've been stepping over the barrier, walking all over the grass, and in some cases, walking sort of pathways through the flower beds.
And what's the effect that this has on other people that like to enjoy the park?
I think for locals who, you know, live around here and like the site, particularly the houses opposite, that detracts from the site. I mean, it also has the sort of effect, the flowers, of bringing those people here in the first place. So it might be a price that we need to accept. But I do think that if there was a bigger sign or some more obvious signage down the paths, or maybe even a warden that was put in charge of the area around here, that this sort of thing could be kept at a minimum.
Canterbury City Council can't issue fines for trampling the flower beds. They're urging visitors to use common sense. Staying in Canterbury, and the Ukrainian community will gather in the city tomorrow to take part in an Independence Day walk. It marks the 33rd anniversary of independence and commemorates 30 months since the start of the war. Denis Nizilov is chair of the Canterbury for Ukraine committee. He says it's an important day for those who have been displaced.
We would like to support integration of displaced Ukrainians into the local community. So it is sort of two-way road. Ukrainians learn about English culture, about local community, and how to be productive and live in this community, but also to contribute to the cultural diversity, to the spirit of Canterbury, which was traditionally a destination for pilgrimage, for refugees, and it's a unique place with a very diverse cultural traditions. So we are happy to contribute to that.
What are some of the challenges to that integration?
Well, of course, the primary reason for this large Ukrainian community to be here in Canterbury and in the UK is the war. No one have expected or wanted to be in this situation. That was unprovoked aggression by Russian Federation. So, many of our people live through very traumatic things. They have a lot of psychological trauma, and that really makes our life very difficult. It's difficult to adjust, it's difficult to learn a language, it's difficult to think about sort of long-term perspective. So together with sort of the bright side of, you know, bringing diversity and sharing wonderful spirit and culture of Ukrainians, unfortunately, we have to live through the war experience. And that makes sort of this experience with integration both difficult, and also it's nobody knows what to expect, what to predict. Nobody knows how long we will stay here, most of us, because, well, most of us would like to go home. Most of us have families, friends, back home. Most of us have somebody lost in this war or serving in the army. So that sort of makes the life and integration really challenging.
I think is it right that the date of the march is also significant because it's 30 months since the start of the war? Is that right?
That's correct. Let me think what to say. That is correct. Unfortunately, this war is already 2 years and a half long. And again, nobody expected that it will last that long, and nobody knows how long would it take. But I also would like to use this opportunity to say big thank you to local people, those who opened their homes to host Ukrainians and to provide support to Ukrainians. This generosity is unprecedented, really, and that goes beyond, you know, what most of us, both host and guest families, would ever think of or expect. That says a lot about how big are the hearts of residents of Canterbury and the UK. And big thank you.
So the event this weekend, obviously, it's a opportunity for people to learn about Ukrainian culture. For the Ukrainian community as well, is it an opportunity to get together and celebrate with people from the same culture, and they get to hear the music, taste the food, go through the same experiences all together?
That's correct. That also gives strength, because as you can imagine, many of us live under the constant stress of all these war-related events. So this is an opportunity to recharge, to get together, to have at least for a moment some peaceful moment, and to forget about all these atrocities and horror of the war. So that's sort of a fresh opportunity to have a fresh breath of air and to stay together.
There'll also be cultural activities as well as live music and a discussion panel. The walk gets underway just after 2.
Kent Online News.
And now, with a look at what's on across the county this weekend, it's Sam Laurie.
Okay, who else is excited for the bank holiday weekend? It's the last one until Christmas. Yes, that's right, I said the C word, Christmas. And it's also coming towards the end of the summer holidays. So let's make the most of it, shall we? There are so many brilliant events happening all over Kent, and to celebrate the long weekend, we've got a long list up on the What's On website, but I will start you off here with a few favourites. The Cider Festival returns to Brogdale Farm in Faversham with more than 40 different flavours of cider and live bands all weekend. A huge inflatable obstacle course, The Beast, is coming to Bettshanger Park in Deal. The medieval Clash of the Knights weekend returns to Dover Castle, and a wildlife-themed sculpture trail opens at Leeds Castle near Maidstone. And for Kent's LGBTQ plus community and allies, two fabulous Pride events are coming to two coastal towns. Dover Pride returns on Saturday, starting with a parade from outside the town hall at 11 a.m, while Herne Bay Pride arrives on Sunday with live music and stalls near the town's pier. If you fancy some live music, the Margate Summer Series continues at Dreamland with three great acts lined up for the weekend. It all kicks off tonight with a headline set from Naughty's boy band Busted, followed by a twist on your favourite dance floor anthems with Ministry of Sound Classical tomorrow evening. Then, on Sunday, X Factor winner James Arthur will take to the outdoor scenic stage to play some of his biggest hits, including Say You Won't Let Go and Impossible. Also, don't miss the Kent Tribute Festival at Strode Park in Herne Bay, which returns on Sunday with two stages of live music. There will be tributes to the likes of Queen, Ed Sheeran, Oasis, Adele, Bon Jovi and Stereophonics throughout the day, as well as bars, food stalls and a bouncy castle for the kids. And finally, if you want to catch some great theatre over the weekend, the Rocky Horror Show is still at Bromley's Churchill Theatre, although you'll probably want to leave the kids at home for that one. Jason Donovan is currently starring in the musical, which features gender-bending costumes, rock and roll songs and a wacky story that you have to see to believe. If you want a taste of what to expect, you can find our review of opening night on What's On. So enjoy the long weekend and make the most of that sweet summer bank holiday with some of Kent's fantastic music, theatre and days out.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting briefly with cricket, Kent will be hoping to take some quick wickets on day 2 of their county championship match against Worcestershire. Today, they were bowled out for 171 in their first innings at Worcester yesterday. To football, Gillingham will be looking to make it 3 wins from 3 games in League 2 this weekend. They're travelling to take on Fleetwood Town. Here's Gill's manager, Mark Bonner.
I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a tough game. They've had a good start with the victory first day, a superb result in the cup, home to West Brom. I went to the game Sunday at Notts County, where they were 2 up and conceded a late penalty, but it was a fair result really on the balance of the play. But I played well. They had a really good start. Obviously know them from last season, having played against them a couple of times. Know a number of their players, I think they've signed well. and they've certainly got off to a good start this season. So I think for us, we know that it's going to be a really tough one. Nice, good test for where we are. I said this last week, we've got in the next few games, I think, some well-fancied sides. So it'll be a good challenge for us to see where we are and if we can keep taking points from the games. So yeah, a big week for us last week, and to come out of it with a really quality result, I think was a big moment for us so far. We have to keep trying to do it. We're still got some key players missing, but I think it gives others a chance, and the confidence of the team overall and the squad just grows when you know you can still get results. So that'll be what we're going after this weekend. Timmy and Aaron are both trained all week, so they'll be available. Bradley, Dak and Ethan Coleman have trained all week, which has been excellent. Three sessions this week. Josh Andrews, Elliot Nevitt was back on footballs today. Josh Andrews has been out 3 days this week on the grass, not with us, but in the main, out on the training pitch. So we're not far away from having a few of those boys. Obviously, Ewan Williams is suspended, but is back out training with us as well. So we're getting a few good numbers around the team, which is helpful, and we'll certainly benefit from that this weekend.
Kickoff tomorrow is at 3. And in athletics, Kent's Dina Asher-Smith has run a season's best in the 100 metres at the Diamond League event in Switzerland. She won the race in 10.88 seconds. It comes just a couple of weeks after she got a silver medal in the women's relay at the Paris Olympics. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.